started on a couple of things I would like to cover for you, getting ready for the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. I want to be able to give some, just a couple of things to you to help everyone out with preparing. What I'd like to ask everyone to do, I know some of you have already been praying and reflecting back on the fact that the Day of Atonement is the time that we remember what Christ did as far as us, our sins being covered. And I'll talk about some of those things just in general, but I'll really emphasize those more on Sunday morning and Sunday night. So I'll really be emphasizing more of that. But tonight, the reason I want to do it, I want to give you opportunity to be able to do more participating in what is going to be coming up. And one of the things that's important about the Day of Atonement is I'd like to for you to understand that there's a time to fast. You can do it within these 10 days that we've been doing, the 10 days of awe. But on one in particular day is the sundown, the evening to evening fast that we will do. So that would as we're doing the celebration, I'm asked call a fast for everyone if you could do that. And it could be it's really, you know, throughout the 10 days of awe, you might have different types of fast that you've selected to do. Some is giving up certain things or whatever it is that you want to do. But this particular fast is one that is for, that I need everybody to do the same way. And it'll be the evening that we meet, that first evening, till our close. So evening to evening. So that would cover your entire time. So if I can ask everybody to do that, that would be, I think it'll be following along with what God wants us to do there. Now, does that mean it's necessary for us to do that? No, it's something that I'm asking for us to do because of where we're going and what we're expecting from God and the things that we're wanting. How many want to see the miracles and God's, how many want his protection and you want the anointing in your life to be able to speak into other people's lives? God wants that for us. He wants us to be able to speak his word into other people's lives. Remember, this is not a time to focus on how you survive, how you make it. This is a time to, you got to know who you are in Christ Jesus, have an anchor for your soul, which is the word of God, which can never change. And God's promises are yea and amen, but it's for you to get ready to begin to spread the gospel, speak the words into the lives of other people. And that's something that I think is of great value. And that's why I want to call a fast. So it's going to be a solemn assembly and a fast called on the same day. Okay. Now, I don't know, who did everybody receive the text message on the switch of the days? Did you redo that for me, Sister Melena, on the bulletin board too? So this will be the time. The fast will start that evening, so you can start your fast at that evening. So if you want to eat before you go, that'd be a great time to eat, because then you start your fast. It goes all the way till the next evening. And I think that's a doable thing for everybody to do that one day. If y'all would, I'm telling you, this is the thing that, the scripture, let me read the scripture to you. You go to Leviticus 23. Leviticus chapter 23. I'll read that to you. And I'm going to be reading this again. So this is not the study on it, but it's more or less me giving some information to you so we can take some time to prepare ourselves for what we're going to be taking part in. So I won't be able to speak a lot on this tonight. But I really feel like this is important, and I want to try to give maybe if I can some type of a general description, something that I can do to help you understand what the Yom Kippur is, the Day of Atonement. And so I'll give some of that tonight and prepare. And you can start studying. You can go over some of these scripture, and I'll be able to help you. Now, the Day of Atonement, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, on exactly the 10th day of the 7th month. Notice that. On exactly the 10th day of the 7th month. So the 10 days of awe, would the count starts on when? If it's on exactly the 10th day of the 7th month, when is the 10 days of awe start to count? On the 1st, right? So we count it from the 1st. So what's on the 1st? What did we just celebrate on the 1st day of the 7th month? On the 1st day of the 7th month, we celebrated what? Yom Teruah, right? The Feast of Trumpets. And so now we celebrate on the 10th day is the Day of Atonement. So them 10 days, starting at the very first day, brings us to our 10 days of awe. So he says, on exactly the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall humble your souls. How many see that? How many see that, humble your souls? Some don't agree with this. Some do. There's two different schools of thoughts here. I really am favoring when it says you shall humble your souls. You see that, or afflict your souls. The King James says use the word afflict. We could call that a fast. So you're putting yourself in a position where your dependency is upon God. You're depending on the Lord. You're saying to the Lord, I'm putting my full trust in you. Because really, that's what you have to understand about fasting, is that you're saying to God, rather than eating, I want to spend this time communing with you, communicating with you. Now, is that a different type of fast than the fast that Jesus fasted? The one that Jesus fasted, he fasted for 40 days. Do you understand that? 40 full days. He didn't eat or drink for 40 days. So afterward, the scripture says he hungered. Then the temptation came. Do you understand? Afterward, he hungered, then the tempter come. When he was at his bottom weakest, and his whole life literally depended on God keeping him alive. Different type of fast. He's not asking us to do that here. In this particular reading here, he's not asking that. He's just saying on this day, the Day of Atonement, he's saying afflict your soul, or humble your soul. Part of being humble is there's a case to be made here, is we can incorporate a fast, a time to fast. And I'm going to tell you why I believe that to be so. This was the time also that the priest, the high priest, went in once a year. When did he go in? On the day of what? The Day of Atonement. He went in once a year. Now, when he went in once a year, what he was going to have, what it represented was he'd go into the most holies of holies. Now, that was considered a face-to-face with God. Now, think about that. That was considered a face-to-face with God that day. The high priest had to go in. Now, before they went in, there was a lot of things they had to do to prepare the high priest so he could be able to have that face-to-face with God, because if not, he would die. But it was considered a face-to-face with God. So take that in. I want you to consider that when you're doing your study. When he went in once a year for the sins of the people, it was considered a face-to-face encounter. That's what it was considered. We need to take that into consideration because we have a high priest, don't we? His name is Jesus. Think about that, Yeshua. We have a high priest who went in for us. He went in for us. That's what we're doing when we celebrate the Day of Atonement. We're taking that in consideration. So did Jesus fast? Yes, he fasted. 40 days he fasted. Not to mention other fasts that he'd done before that. Remember when he was on the mountain? How many remember when he went on the mountain and the disciples were down and they were praying for the demon-possessed boy? The boy was full of demons, so much so that he would throw himself in the fire so he can be burned. And his parents didn't know what to do with him. They said, we can't handle him. He would have epilepsy fits. This kid was just, they couldn't control him. Now, was it because the kid was bad? No, it was demons. And we didn't know that at first till Jesus comes down and reveals that. The disciples think, okay, this boy's sick, we're going to have to pray for him. So they went to praying. So they prayed, and nothing happened. They prayed again, nothing happened. They keep praying, nothing's happening. So Jesus comes down off the mountain. He'd been praying, and he was doing something else. But we don't know what else he's doing unless he lets us know, right? So he comes down, and he gets to the little boy, and he just says, come out of him, right? What happens to the boy? He's perfectly fine. He don't want to throw himself in the fire. He's not giving the parents a fit anymore. And the disciples start talking. They said, well, how come we couldn't do that? And Jesus said, these only go out by prayer and fasting. That's what Jesus said. I think we need to take note about that, right? Because they're going to be demons that we're going to deal with, that they won't go out but by prayer and fasting. So if you could be a good prayer, but we got to have both of those things working together. So when he says, also on the 10th day of the 7th month, we're still in Tishri, right? 7th month. On the 10th day now, there shall be a day of atonement. A day of atonement. That's a day of Yom Kippur. That's where we get Yom Kippur. It shall be a holy convocation unto you. Do you see that? A holy convocation. And this is important, very important. And you shall humble yourself or afflict your soul and present an offering by fire unto the Lord. Now, there's some things in here we don't have to do. Is there a reason? You know why? Why don't we have to do to present the offering by fire? Because Christ is the one that presented that for us already, right? But should we remember it? Absolutely we should. I mean, this is what the church, that's why I think the church has taken the back seat and went into Easy Street, Greasy Grace, and all the rest of that stuff. We ain't got to do nothing. We ain't got to do nothing. We don't have to prepare for nothing because we won't be here. And I think that's a travesty to the church. We do have to do something. I think we got to remember these times, where especially Jesus gave his life for us. He presented the blood on the Day of Atonement before the... And listen, when the priest went in, when he went into the Holies of Holies, what was in there? The Ark of the Covenant. And the cherubims was on that ark. And their wings were fixed. Let me tell you, this was a holy place. And they went in once a year. And then we have a high priest, meaning Jesus, who went in for us. And so that's why some of these things that I'll read here, we don't have to perform those things, but we have to remember this event. Verse 28 says, you shall not do any work on this same day. That might be something we have to look into a little more, right? You say, we're going to get that serious? It may, right? It may be that serious to God. I think these are things that we may have to look into. But we so out of habit of really keeping a day of rest, we really are. Because we don't see it the way the Scripture tells it. We don't see it like that anymore. But we may have to get some of these things squared up with God when it comes to the Word again. It may be that serious to God. And I tell you, the more I study, I'm saying, okay, we gotta have to recheck and re-examine some of the stuff we do. Now, let me tell you why this is a different than the, this is not the this Shabbat is not the weekly Shabbat, the Sabbath. It's not the weekly. You understand? This is a special day God picked, a time that we should be doing nothing but fasting and praying. I wonder if that would be too hard to ask for Bible-believing Christians who've been saved by the grace of God to give one day on a day like this where you did no civil work at all and you prayed and fast. You think that would be too much for the church to be asked to do something like that? And the thing is we don't participate in a lot of these things. And I think that's why you stand before God and you repent of those things and you have to bring them up. So I'm making this aware to you to start thinking about this. On those days that were posted, we have to start getting in the habit of this. And I believe that the Lord's given us this information right at the nick of time so we can start participating in this, because there won't be many more years that we're gonna see these events begin to unfold. Amen? There's no doubt about it to me. I was on the phone today with a friend of mine, and I'll be making a talk with them on the phone. And I can tell you it's going to get to the point that we won't have the time to be able to go into places that people is going to demand answers. And that's what's happening. We'll have no time to travel. We have to do stuff on the phone. So I have a meeting set up to minister on the phone with a group of people because they said we got to have answers. We have no answers. And so, you know, so there's all sorts of stuff out there, and you'll read anything you get your hands on. And if you're not in the habit of understanding what you take in and shouldn't take in, it creates a panic. The church, if the church is taught right, there should be no panic. Nobody should be panicking in the church. We should have our understanding clear, and we know what God's word says. When I see that type of stuff happen, that's something that could be very dangerous. So I'm asking everybody to keep that in mind. You shall not do any work on this same day. For if there is any person who will not humble himself on this same day, he shall be cut off from his people. How many see that? So this was a serious thing. I'm going to read the entire text because I have to because it's the word of God. But I want you to look at this. As for any person who does any work. Now, when you notice that this comment is about humbling, the first comment, because he gives a second comment. So he's not talking. So notice he's pulling back in these two comments to make reference to what we just said. So he's making a reference to what was said, or he's elaborating more on it. And the first thing he does is he talks about the humbling, right? If a person don't humble his soul, he said he shall be cut off. He says, so if you're not going to participate in the fast, according to their custom, you're cut off. And it goes on for the same day. There's no civil work on that day. Any person who does any work on this same day, that person will be destroyed from among his people. You shall do no work at all. Notice he's emphasizing this. This is pretty he's really in getting this emphasized now. Verse 31, you shall do no work at all. It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generations and all your dwelling places. Now that right there kind of said, okay. Now this says it should be a perpetual statute, right? If it's to be a perpetual statute on this particular day, every year on your Day of Atonement should be a day, that day from evening to the next evening should be set aside where there's no work and there's a fast, and everybody's got we're thinking about the same thing. The whole church body should be participating in that. Let me ask you this question. What if on this Yom Kippur coming up, put those dates up again? Could you do that without it messing you? There you go. So on the 21st at 7 p.m., could you imagine if around the world everybody said, we're not going to do any work and we're going to pray and fast for 24 hours? You think maybe we'd impact in something around the world? You better believe we'd do it. It would impact every facet of the world, from the economy. Do you understand that? It would impact everything. But here's the thing. That's why, because we don't do it, there's no voice in the believer. There is no voice in the believer. We're talking here. And there might be pockets of people talking, but there's no authority and there's no voice because nothing shuts down. We can't do that. There is no way we could do that. But if you let the believer stand up and say, this is what we're doing because Yahweh said we should, it would make a difference. I can promise you it would make a difference. The world does stuff like that now. They got times and dates and stuff that's set, and it's, you gotta be right on it. You better be on it. But when it comes to the church, it's nothing. It's been a big compromise, is what I've seen happen, and so we have to fix some stuff. We really do. And I, listen, I'm not pointing out or picking on any. I'm talking about the church. We have to fix this. We have to make sure that we go back to the things of God and make these corrections. And I believe the Lord will absolutely be pleased if we're willing to do that. How many see this?
Amen.
This is important. So notice you shall do no work at all. So this is an emphasized statement. And then he talks about it shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations and all your dwelling places. It is to be a Sabbath or a Shabbat. So this is what he calls it. Now, is it a normal Sabbath day? No. He said it, but I'm calling it one. Notice that. He said it's not a normal Sabbath. It's not a normal rest day. So this is not the weekly rest. This is a holy Shabbat, a holy Sabbath. It should be a Sabbath of complete rest to you. Complete rest. So this is different. This is different. It could be that on this particular day, we're not preaching. We're not teaching. We're just fasting and praying.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Right? And this is something that we have to take into consideration. So on this particular day, there's no preaching, there's no teaching, there's no songs. We're just fasting and praying, and we're giving God this 24-hour period where we're listening, we're paying attention, we're recognizing that we've been atoned for. And Sunday morning, I want you to be here because I'm going to talk about the Day of Atonement more like I did the Yom Teruah. I'm going to go over that for you. I'm going to lay it all out and give you what the meaning behind it and what some of these things represent. But this is just kind of a quick overview to help you preparing you up for Sunday, and then especially when we meet on those days. Okay. It is to be a Sabbath of complete rest to you. You shall humble your souls. Again, he says it again. You shall humble your souls, afflict your soul. So there's two things that's emphasized on Yom Kippur. The affliction of the soul, and there should be no work, rest. I think that's something that we have to take into consideration as a body. So I know it's a change, it's a shift. It may be our first time. There's a single day that we should be doing this. Yeah, absolutely. But let me tell you why there's been a not a deep understanding about this. Because of what we believe, this is what we have the concept, that there's two groups of people. There's the Jewish, or the children of Israel, and there's the church, the New Testament church. And the New Testament church, from what I'm understanding and all the studies that I'm studying, that's the ones that will be raptured. And then the second coming, the next coming, which will be a third, really, but we're not going to call it three because, you remember, people really have a counting problem in the world when it comes to the Bible for some reason. You know, there's three gods, but there's only one. Somehow that works. And it's not four. So, and it's the same thing when it comes to the counting just gets out of whack. And that's what happens. We say, well, yeah, it's got to be. Because we have a scripture, we can't explain it, so we just move on and we scratch that off and say, well, then he's going to come back at another time. There's no three comings of Christ. There's a second coming. That's all the Bible ever talks about. He's got a second return. He returns the second time. And when he returns, he's not going to come back a third and a fourth. He's going to set the kingdom up. It's going to be it. It's going to be awesome. And that's going to be powerful. So just keep that in mind. So again, he emphasizes these things over and over. And said on the ninth of the month at evening, from evening until evening, you shall keep the Shabbat. Do you notice that? So this is why it's kept at that particular time. So even in the evening. So we're going to try it. We're going to do it. Again, it's our first time. We're trying to do it the best we can. And so that's why I said to bear with us as we try to lay out this. And if I do it this way, I can assure you, you're going to find three different other ways it's done on the internet. Well, I can't sit around and try to figure that out. I got to pick something and we got to go with it. Because no man knows the day or the hour. So at least we're going to be obedient to the things of the word. So we got to get as close as we can, okay? So that's the difference. And that's the things that you got to struggle with me trying to figure it out, and I got to struggle with figuring it out. So we're just going to have to bear with each other, okay? So everybody okay so far with the fast? Is anybody in a disagreement with the fast? Thought in the evening to the evening. Yeah. Yeah. Different fast from what Jesus did. Remember that. Different fast. So some of you fast. I know when you fast, you might, some people fast by meal, missing a meal, or fast on just Daniel fast on vegetables or whatever. Like Daniel, he didn't have the meat, the dainties from the king's table. He ate the This is not that type of fast. You could do that on your own anytime you want to fast throughout the year. This is a holy convocation, humble our souls, afflict the soul. Three times he goes over that, and no work on that particular day. It's difficult because you know what happens in our life leading up to this. And you got to think about this. What do we do with our life leading up to this? We plan, don't we? We plan and we set dates and times and we're going to be here and there, right? It's the way it is. And then you got jobs and commitments. But then we have a day like this. We start reading the Bible and then it pops up. Then you got to ask, okay, what do we do? Right? So what I suggest we do is that we do the same thing we do with everything else. When we want to do something, is you're going to have to sit down, prayerfully consider it. Can you consider it in a way you undo the day that God sets? Well, you're going to have a difficult time. It's a perpetual statute. I can't undo it. You can't. We ought to be thankful. At least we're going to start participating in it. So what do you do when it comes to your obligation? You got to sit down and figure that out. And you say, well, God understand. Well, you ask him. I can give you his answer if you want me to. You see? So those are things that we got to have to make those adjustments. So would I do that in another time? Would I do that? Probably wouldn't. You see? So that's the adjustments that we'll make. Yeah, I mean, yep. You teach the kids the same way. They're going to probably ask you, so this is an opportunity to teach them. But you know, your kids definitely got to eat. That's something that you know. When he makes this address, I don't know. I'd have to really go. I don't think that he was speaking about the younger children. Okay, because we're talking about adults, those who are responsible for the sin. Because remember, children suffer for the sins of their fathers. We're dealing with the sins of the adults here. That's what the scripture says. The children suffer for the sins of their fathers. So that's why we know we're dealing with the adult generation when he speaks of this. Now, should the children see what's going on and participate at some level? I believe so. There have to be some humbling of the soul even for them. But that's something that, you know, there could be many different ways of doing that. But there has to be an example. I mean, maybe somebody has a suggestion here, or maybe you participated in something like this before. That's something that I think you have to consider when we prepare in our lives for an event. And again, what is this going to do for me from a salvation issue? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Why? For by grace are you saved through faith. Nobody's going to get saved because they keep the Day of Atonement or they fast and pray. You're saved by grace. For by grace, it's a gift God's given, And so, but what does it do for you as a prepping your heart and aligning yourself up with the prophetic utterances of God? I think it does a lot. When you align yourself up with the prophetic words of God, it does a lot. When you align yourself up with the flow of the Spirit, so the power of God's flowing in your life, it does a lot.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Did Jesus keep the feast days? Throughout the Scripture, he kept them and fulfilled them.
Yeah.
Did Paul keep the feast days? He did. Did he get saved because of them? No. For by grace are you saved through faith. And he emphasized that. But he kept them. Paul kept them all. Peter kept them. They all kept them. But they didn't, that wasn't, and that's why people get all hung up. They say, oh, there goes Pastor Jesse. He's going to get in those Hebrew roots movement. And so I've been called all of that already. So they, I don't know what else they can come up with. It doesn't make a difference to me. The word's what the word says. We either follow in the word or we're not going to. But are you going to go to Jerusalem and sacrifice the animal? Now, come on. You mean I'll bring you in our children's church and they can teach you probably. It's the simple stuff. So that's the game playing that happens, with that. So it's unfortunate. So I think what we're doing is we at least open up to it. We're willing to let God teach us, and we sit here and we're willing to submit to these things. I think is going to be helpful. So if you think the fast and the praying is somehow going to be more salvation for you, that's not how salvation is. But it will align you. It will put you in right that alignment that's necessary. And I do believe that it's what brings sanctification for sure. Because you're getting aligned with God. Justification, that comes from the grace of God. You've been justified just as if you had not sinned, because your sins are, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be made white as snow or white as wool. So talk about that. And I'll talk about that Sunday. It's powerful. The scarlet line. They'd come and they'd put the scarlet line and hang it. And the next morning, if everything went right, when they were celebrating, when it went right, they went back and the scarlet line was white. They go, okay, thank you, Lord. He answered us. And they had to have the two goats. And they had to take the one goat and put all the sin on the one and send it out into the wilderness. And one, they run off the cliff, the edge of the cliff. So all those things are significant. And I'm going to try to talk as much about all that as I can on Sunday and try to point all these things out to you, okay? But I wanted to just read this text for you so you see it. So this coming Day of Atonement, what I'd like to do, It's a holy Sabbath. What I'd like to do is as many as can, and don't get hung up if you can't this year. Next year, we should have more participate in it. And I'm going to just tell you, we don't have a lot of years, I don't believe we do, to get in the habit of participating. So we need to get our stuff squared away as quickly as possible. But as many as can, we ought to start making a demand upon our lives and our relationship and everybody else. I know we want to be understanding with everybody, but I'm going to tell you, God set this time. Maybe we should take that in consideration, the fast and the no civil work for that 24-hour period. Okay? Brother Brian? Well, you have the year of Jubilee, and we do have that one coming, okay? And it all coincides with, I don't have the chart. I wish I could have pulled that up just to show that chart to talk about that chart. So we got Tishri 1 to Tishri 10. What most prophetic people believe, not all, but some, most of them, believes that that's where we're going to have this period of time. And we don't know. So Tishri 1 starts the trumpet, and at one of those trumpet times, the alarm gets sound at Yom Teruah. Then it don't necessarily mean that in 10 days, the Day of Atonement will be the last trumpet. It could be a 7 from there. So that would make it line up. Because if we do in the far, if we do in the Jubilee one, then we can say, well, this is going to be it. It starts in 2015 and it ends in 20, what, 21? Is it 21? Yeah, 21. So 2021, right? So there's some in the school of prophecy that they're putting out in their information packages, that this year, this Yom Teruah and this Day of Atonement that comes starts the beginning of the 7-year tribulation, which would line up with the Jubilee, right? Now, if they're wrong, then the whole Jubilee idea is out the window. Now, the Shemitah is over, right? Now, I didn't talk a bunch about the Shemitah because I was doing that, and there's different people that I have a lot of respect for their writings, and I believe they're men of God. But I said to some people, I said, well, I'm telling you, they're wrong with the Shemitah this year. And I said, the reason I know they're wrong is because the Lord spoke to me and dealt with me about it, that they're wrong based upon their motive to sell books. That's why I told, that's what I said was going to happen. I said, you're going to see a drop in the stock. It's going to drop, but you'll be fooled because it won't bottom out like everybody says it is. It's going to kind of, and everybody's going to go, oh, what happened? Shemitah's over. Shemitah's over. There's no, we can't go back and do Shemitah again. It's done. It never bottomed out, and we didn't have the economic crisis like everybody said was going to happen, like was predicted. This Shemitah. Now, we're going to have another Shemitah. You know, it's going to keep coming, and I don't think why we want to get all worked up about who gets the right year, right? And so that's what I think's happening with the Jubilee. I think everybody's on board because of the Tetra and the blood moon, right? The end of September, we're going to have the blood moon. Again, I think people's getting all worked up too much because so-and-so sells his books. I can name the guys, and, you know, sometimes I feel like doing it, and I'm just being a nice guy, okay? But to me, if that's the case, why didn't they give all their money away already? They should have just gave it all away because they're right. And you don't need it. And a matter of fact, you better hurry up and give it away and put it to use, because if God returns and you still got it dug in your hole, he's going to say, you're not fit for the kingdom. So you better be giving it all away. And we need some in Nepal. We're about to go to Nepal. We need some to help the earthquake victims. I ought to go back my truck up and say, hey, buddy, load her up. You're going to be out of here. You won't need it. I'll take it to Nepal. They ain't giving it. They ain't giving nothing. They still selling. You see what I'm saying? So the blood moon is coming in the September 28th, I believe it is, right? That's the prediction, September 28th. It's in the book. You can go and look at it. I can give you the names of the guys and the Shemitah. Shemitah's over. So that bombed out. Shemitah ended. Did we have a fall in the stock market? We did. But I said to everybody that I was talking to, especially people, I said, are you going to see it go? And it's going to be, it's going to stop, and it's going to be, people's going to say, there it is, it's coming. I said, but it won't. It won't do it. And that's based upon the fact that you can't do it off of book sales. What they based it off of was,
the 1967.
They based it off of, yep. So that's what they based it off of. But they're missing, I think what they're missing is them. They're missing them. He put the lights in the firmaments and let them be for signs, for seasons, for days and years. I think they're not using them, and they're using just one or two of them, and they're missing their, they're off. They're going to be off because they won't go back and look at one word called them. That's how critical the scripture is. And God is not, listen, the one guy that does the 1967, let me tell you, this guy's got some fascinating video, and I like his presentation, but according to him, he's got it figured out to the day. The exact day, based on the 1967, he's got it all the way, and it's alarming. It really is alarming. So we'll see, because it started in Yom Teruah this year. Yom Teruah was the alarm. Day of Atonement will come, and it started. The 7 years of the tribulation started based upon his findings. Now, he says he did it based upon the star passing through in the sky through the area of the womb of Pleiades. So it passes through the womb, and because of that, that's the birth. That's the actual birthing, just like it happened when they saw his star in the east. It moved in that spot, so therefore, once it moves in that spot, we're good to go. And he's counting the crowns, the seven stars. He counts all of that, then the ten. All of it's counted in that one picture, and he said he's including. Now, here's the thing. He disagrees with the blood moon. So they have to figure that stuff out. So I can tell you it's interesting stuff. It's an interesting time to be a part of the body of Christ. And I'm going to tell you this. In our lifetime, our generation, we can see with our eyes the second coming of Christ. That's how close we are. You need to take that in consideration. Now, before we talked about it, all them years before, but this has never been a time like right now. Never been a time like right now because the things are set. There's a lot of stuff that's already in place and the way the world's going and the stuff that's going to happen. So there's things to look for. If you want things to look for, and again, this is just giving you information for you to keep be aware. We have the Pope and Obama and the Congress is going to meet on the 23rd or so, 23rd or 24th of September. Okay, they're going to meet. Now, why are they meeting right around the Day of Atonement stuff? I think it's significant. I really do. You have CERN with this colliding machine. They're going to perform that test. They're going to do that. You have Jade Helm is going supposed to dismantle the entire operation in September. That, you know, they say we're dismantling, it's over with, all the tests have been run. They're not going to do it. They're not going to dismantle. They're going to beef up, if anything. And they're going to keep doing what they're doing. And what they're doing is they're preparing for civil unrest and to start putting people in basically FEMA camps. Now, the FEMA camps have been built. They're all over the United States. These are not stuff they're going to build. They're built. They're there. There's one prophet that the Lord took him out of his place of prayer and brought him by way of translation, and I'm just giving you his prophecy. Well, I took some information. I'm going to check it out, but his prophecy was that the Lord took him, translated him to the FEMA camp, and he said he was so real he can hear the gravel crackling underneath his feet when he walked through it, and he said what he saw was horrifying because the first thing they're going to do is separate the family. They're going to take the children to one section, and they're going to separate the men and the women to other sections. And he said while he was there, he was asking the Lord, what's going on? And he said, this is going to be the persecution that I talked about, that my people are going to be persecuted before I return. And so this was something that he saw in 1996. And he wrote it down in a book. I just got the book, and I'm going to go through it. And I'm going to start looking at it. 1996, he saw this. So, you know, a lot of guys are seeing stuff right now. Well, of course, there's a lot of stuff going on. But But in 96, this guy wrote it down. And so I was interested in reading more about what he had to say, because he had it in 1996 versus the time that we're in with all the activities that's going on. So it made more sense for me to look at some of the stuff that he's talking about. So I will do that. But for you to take this into consideration, these events, and plus we got the blood moon, supposedly going to be the last blood moon. This September on the 28th is what I've been seeing. You're supposed to have that. Now, that's all supposed to be significant. What you have to do is remember this. As a Christian, don't matter if there's blood moons, Shemitahs, none of that matters if only you prepare yourself with the, if you understand that the feast days are when Jesus is going to fulfill his return. That's something you can know. This is not prophecy from the standpoint that you're still waiting for it to come to pass. This is why you know this is going to happen. He fulfilled the first four feasts. He will fulfill the last three feasts. Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles. He will fulfill those. What I want to say to the church, we may never know the times, right? The day, the hour, whatever. But the season, we know. We know the season. Just be ready at that time. So if it's this year, be ready. The next year, be ready around those times. And don't fear. You don't have to fear about anything. Even though you may go through some difficult times. Let me just tell you this. Not may. There will be some difficult times. I want you to know that. There will be difficult times. But God is going to take care of his people.
Yes, he will.
He will. But we got to understand these are important principles. So, you know, there's so much to know. And I encourage all of you to keep studying and bring information to me. If you find some information, bring it to me. And the point Brother Brian made is important points for me, so I can go back and look at these things. I can only tell you what I found out so far, that a lot of this is to make money. How many remember Y2K? You remember that? It was one of the biggest money-making things that the church used. They used it. It was something. I had the one guy come out and he apologized to everybody because he used the Y2K and he sold food and all that stuff and made a bunch of money. He did. And when it all went where it didn't happen, they lost 50% of their people following them. 50% of the people quit following them. And they lost all their airtime, everything. They like to went bankrupt because people remember that stuff. And so he come out and he apologized for predicting the Y2K was going to be the end of the world. You had to prepare. That's when it was going to start. So you can see you ought to realize there have been other times that people's heard this stuff and people went out and bought rice and beans and cooking oil and all kinds of stuff and stored it up, right? Now, how many remember me talking about Y2K at our church? I brought it up. And I said, you know, we may be considering, but we're going to pray about it. And I prayed about it. And what I told everybody to do after that? What I told you to do? I told you to just, we're going to be fine. There ain't no sense in buying buckets of rice and beans. I'm telling you, we're going to be fine. Now, we thought about it, and I was thinking about maybe we need to have a storage. And, you know, then I said, well, we better pray. And so we never bought 18-wheeler load of rice. Because, I started thinking. I said, well, if the computer's going to shut down, you know, then let them shut down. I'm sure it can't be that bad. But anyway, that's what happened to Y2K, and that's why people is not paying a lot of attention right now. Because we had all these predictions and people predicted. Then remember we had the 2012 prediction. How many remember that? That didn't go really well because Y2K kind of took their legs out of that because they weren't going to buy the Mayan deal, you know. But it was true, though. People need to realize 2012 was true on their Mayan calendar prediction from that age ended. It did end. But they took it as like literally the world would end. No, the world, the age ended and it started a new age. I mean, that was a fact. It ended, it was calculated for all those times and it was absolutely true every other time and it was true for 2012. The age ended. But the world didn't end. Now, is the world going to come to an end? Yes. At the last day. It'll be over. And I don't believe that's far off. So I want you to take into consideration, you watch the news, keep an eye on what's going to happen with the Pope in the Obama meeting. He's going to meet at the White House with Obama. I don't know, you don't know telling what type of demonic influence is going to take place in that deal, right? The Pope recently come out and was talking about that about Christ, accepting Christ could be a bad idea. I mean, okay, really? A bad idea? Go type it in your computer browser and look it up and read the article. Keep a little note of that. Type it in, go read the article about what the... So I can tell you, people are coming out and saying, you know what? And this is Christian folk. Christian, I mean, seasoned, Holy Ghost-filled people make comments and say, you know, I don't know why everybody's picking on Pope. I find this is the best Pope we ever had. Maybe I need to be slapped upside the head and woke up. Because I'm done lost it. But that's what you see people making those comments. You got to see what's being said, what the fruit is. And I can tell you, we've never had a pope push for one world order as this one is doing. Never had one push for one world order, one religion. And they lob it all about the Muslim religion. I mean, it's just crazy. It's amazing. So that, you need to look for that. The meeting is going to speak before Congress. See if you can get some information on that. See what happens when the collider machine collides and they believe they got the God particle and see if they open up a portal. They believe they can open up a portal to whatever. You know, they don't realize that if they're going to get more portals open up than they can handle.
What is the coincidence or correlation or
I think what it is not so much a coincidence at all, but I think the world is playing to they can promote themselves. You know, like Kanye West and all his, he's a lunatic, you know, guy's crazy. So what they do is they try to promote themselves by matching up with these, aligning themselves with all these predictions that's coming, and there's no difference than Madonna. She's aligning herself because her belief system falls right along with that system. So she's going to align herself with this concert all at the same time. Well, it's like this. The church is gathering on Yom Teruah and Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. We're gathering, right? We're going to be celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, honoring the Lord for what happened when the children of Israel was in the wilderness. So we're saying to the church, gather on this particular time. You think they're not going to want to have their gathering? So she's the one who can bring in all of the people who have demonic influence. They're led by the devil. So she has a venue, almost a church, as it were, with a platform to speak her message. And I guarantee you, you watch the words, you watch what happens. It's going to be to influence all that system, that whole worldly system. So it aligns itself up with the one world system. That's what it does. So the church is aligning up with God, the world's lining up with Satan, and we're going to have this big fight. It's going to be a big clash. And I want to tell you, according to the Word of God, God wins. So you got to decide what side you're going to be on. He wins. He don't lose, and he said he's going to keep his. Now, some folks will lose their life. But why shouldn't we worry about losing our life? Because we promised the resurrection. Though we die, yet shall we live. That's the promise. Now, there have been other folks died before, had to believe that promise. We're not going to be any different than them. If we have to face death, we got to believe it just like they believed it. So, they love not their life unto death. That was the witness. They love not their life unto death. That's powerful. And so it's a good point because that's what I see happening. All of these people are lining themselves up with this one world Illuminati mindset where we're going to, you know, I mean, there's just the talks that are going on, the depopulation of the world. We got to depopulate. We got to reduce the population by so, you know, the ideal population means we get rid of 6 million people. So you're talking about a mass depopulation. That's the, but there's people who think those kinds of thoughts. We don't need this many people in the world. That's why it is nothing to kill babies. It's nothing to see older people struggle with trying to get the right health care. They don't care. They can care less if they get healthy. Because the more people that can be, you know, that's going to get ill and feeble and die, they're happy. They don't care. But it's, you shouldn't worry about that as a believer. Though you die, yes, shall you live. So you got a promise from God. You got no promise in the world, but death. It's over. So that's why we have to align ourselves up with God. So I can see that's why that's happening. You know, people trying to just mock God and say, you know, all the Christians are just weaklings and you know, they're a bunch of pansy pants. They don't do anything besides go to church and sing songs and clap their hands and hug each other. And, you know, the world's got it together. And we're the money providers and we got the brains and we're the elite. And that's fine. They can think the way they want. We should know what the Word says. That's why we got to understand prophecy. When it Bible prophecy, we got to understand prophecy best we can, and ask God to give us the strength to do whatever it is we have to do. But here we are. We're at a time where we're talking about this and it's very serious. And it could be, you know, is it? Do I believe that? You know, the Lord's going to come back on the 21st of September? Probably not. There's a couple things that is going to have to happen. And the man of sin is going to be revealed. And it won't be long. Once it happens, do I believe we're in the birth pains? We're having a trip. I do believe that.
Yes.
I believe we're in the, definitely in the time where the pains are happening. So I just want you to know that this is a serious time, and I want everybody to be praying. I think it would be important that we take that day, and if you can, do no civil work. That's what he said. He emphasized it three times, and he said time to fast and pray. And so that's something that I'd like to participate in, as many that can. If you can't, don't think ill of yourself. And don't put yourself down if you can't. If you have to work, then you have to work. But I would put that in the table for, from here on out. Definitely would put it on the table. And I'd tell them the reason. I wouldn't say, well, yeah, I was thinking about maybe taking a vacation day. No, you tell them the reason. You say, this is the reason why. It's a serious time. Now, let me tell you why you should do that. Because there's going to come a time where there'll be no respect for the church whatsoever. And whatever you think as far as church goes will be nothing. It don't matter. Now, if it's anything else, you would be taken into consideration. And that's what we're seeing. So I don't want it said that the rest have suffered because they stood up and said it like, this is what I'm doing it for, because it's for. So we want to go around the issue and see if we can. We come in to teach the gospel. We go to Nepal. We're going to go there as teachers. And we're going to go there because they know we turn our visa in. We're going to this church. This is the address to the church. We're not going hike a mountain. You see, I could put I'm going high trekking. They let me in all anytime I want. But we don't do that. We're going to, we give the church address. That's where we're going to be. We're going to be having church while we're there. If there's persecution for some, we shouldn't try to go around it where we miss the persecution and not be. We don't want the Peter mentality. I'm not with him. I'm not with them. We are with them, and it's so be it, whatever it is. And so one of the things I would like to say, I got a message from Nepal, and the Constitution was written. And in the Constitution, remember, we've been talking about the Constitution. We've been working on it for 4 years. The Constitution has been written, maybe longer now they've been working on the Constitution. But It was written, and once it was read, it went public, the Constitution. It was stated in the Constitution that men were going to be allowed to practice religion. And that infuriated the Hindus. I mean, the radical Hindus are absolutely, they bombed, this just happened, they bombed two churches in the last 2 days. And they're angry. They're angry that it's not going to be a Hindu nation, solely Hindu, no other religion. And so we had been praying for them not to make Christianity illegal there because of all the pastors there and the churches that are there. And the country, literally, from an economy standpoint, is doing way better. It really is as far as the people goes. Now, their overall dollars is hurting because there's still a lot of politics and issues that they need to straighten up as far as the parliament goes. But in Nepal, in the Constitution is stated that religion can be practiced by all people freely. Hence, Christians can practice Christian, Hindu, whatever you want to do. Sort of like in America. But the radicals are mad. So Pastor KB and them has established a security team. And I was on the phone today. We was trying to get stuff worked out. Their security is really handicapped because India supplies a lot of power. And when the power goes out, they have no way to see. And so they don't have, they call them torches. They call a flashlight a torch. He said, our torches are weak. You know, they shine about 10 feet, 20 feet up. And they have these walls of protection around the church. And that church, I mean, it's a nice church. And so what we're doing is I got on the phone with AJ and he's getting some stuff. We're going to try to get the nice lights to put on a security team so they can monitor those walls when it's a total blackout. I mean, when it's a blackout there, I mean, it's just like, you remember I talked about the dark that you can feel? I mean, it's like that. I mean, lights go out and you're there in Nepal. And I mean, it's just like every dog in the valley there is barking and there's just weird sounds. And I'm like, I told Charlotte, this is demonic. I mean, we thank people praying for us. We need prayer warriors and intercessors constantly praying. So as far as we know, the Lord has never told us to not go. And so we're going to be headed out there amidst what's going on right now. So y'all need to keep us in. We're still open. I told Charlotte, it may be the day that we drive up there and the Lord says, don't get on the plane. We won't go. And I can hear God that way. But and I might get there and we might have an issue. That doesn't mean I wasn't supposed to be there. That means get ready. You know what? Here you go. We're not gonna be protected from everything that happens in the time that we go through. But we are gonna be promised the promises that God promised, and that's what we gotta hang on to. So far right now we're still planning to go there. And I know some people's been, a bit leery about us traveling at this particular time. You know, most people canceling their travels. They're not going anywhere. Blood moon's coming. The Shemitah doesn't happen, and they're a little concerned about these things. So I want you to take this into consideration. Keep us in prayer. It's going to be coming up. We leave on the 28th, right in the smack dab middle of the blood moon. We'll be flying to Chicago, and then from Chicago, we'll get on a plane and we'll fly to the Middle East, to Qatar. So I'll be right in Saudi Arabia, right there. Here I am. So we'll be there, and then we'll fly from there. We got to lay over there for a while. So I'll be sitting on that ground, and I'll be praying. I need you praying. I'm going to be in Saudi Arabia for 14 hours. In a hostile area. But how many know God is God? It don't change who God is, right? Then we'll fly from there, and we'll fly into Kathmandu, Nepal, where they've had two earthquakes, where the airport where we're going to land has been tore up. And so we'll... It was already bad. I told y'all that if it got worse than when we flew in last time, man. So we'll go in there, and we're going to leave from there, fly out from there to Nepalganj. We're going to be there because we're going to travel into Jumla of 12,000 feet elevation. So we're going to be up in some high elevation, and we're going to reach out to some people. We've been wanting to go out into these mountain areas where the people are just coming to hear about Christ for the first time. Then we'll fly back. Travel back from Jumla, back to Nepalganj, fly back to Kathmandu, and we're going to be in Kathmandu for the remainder of our stay, helping in the earthquake area. So we'll be there with Pastor Bim and doing everything we can there to encourage them. They're waiting for us to come. This whole church is waiting. They said they're waiting from the man from the United States who's been through the big storm. So that's, and his people can't wait. That's what they've been through an earthquake. There's a man who's going to come and tell us we can make it, we can rebuild, we can establish and get our hearts back to right with God. And that's what he's been telling them. So he tells Pastor Charlotte that they can't wait because they know we've been through it. Well, we're going to go and deliver the message of the Word of God. And I can tell you, it may not be a time where we get to go back. This could be so far, and I was telling this to Pete earlier, that the Lord had not released me. And this is, I'm late in the year to not be released for travels for the following year. I have nothing. I have heard from the Lord about nothing. That's unusual for me. I can tell you in advance things because he said, I'm seven steps ahead of you for the rest of your life. And I have no travel plans. I have nothing. I ask the Lord, I get no answer. So I'm telling people this could be the last time I travel. And I'm going to tell Pastor KB and them it could be the last time we come. I'm not talking about anybody else. I'm speaking for me and Charlotte because I go by what the Lord tells me. And so I just want y'all to keep that in mind. I'm wondering about why the Lord has not released me for traveling for the following year. And it's usually I already know. Right now, I mean, we're in September. I know. I know what's going to be going on. And I start setting my schedule when I have nothing. So I just that's alarming to me somewhat. That, you know what, and maybe the Lord's not wanting to tell me right now. I don't know. But we're going to keep praying, and I believe that the Lord will let us know if we're going to be traveling anymore. But I've been telling everybody that this may be our last time to travel, especially out of the country, until we know more. So I need prayer warriors. Who wants to join? We're going to start setting that up. Those are going to be joining the prayer warrior team. That we're going to be praying round the clock. I can tell you they've been praying 24 hours a day round the clock for our arrival. Pastor KB and them's church. They have people praying all over the country in Nepal for our arrival. And I will be ministering the word there, sharing with them some of these things that they, you know, it's important that they're ready to go. And so I just want you to be encouraged, all of you. Don't have no fear. Remember, I tell you all the time, fear and faith cannot coexist. You're going to be led by one. You're going to be led by your fear, or you're going to be led by your faith. You can trust God. Trust in him, just like those men of old trusted in him, and God brought them through everything that needed to be brought through. And if it was time for them to depart, then they departed. And that's what Paul said. He said he knew his time was getting close. And he said this, he said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. And I like what he said, I finished the course. You know what? There's a course that will finish in this time. And if we finish our course before the time period that the Lord returns, then we're going to finish our course. If we don't, we're going to see him. You sitting in this building, you'll see him with your own eyes when he comes back. That's powerful. That's powerful. You ever thought about what you would do? You know, it just you're just going to be like melt. It's like you're just going to fall on, you're just going to be, it's so glorious. It's going to be something. So think about that. Firm your relationship up and start thinking about sanctification and making sure that you don't want to do anything in your life that's going to in any way hurt God in any way. You don't want to do anything to hurt God in any way. And you just got to tell him. He'll help you. You might say, I'm going to be strong. You ask him to help you so you're strong in all these areas. Okay? Well, I love you. I thank God for you. Let's remember the announcements. On Sunday, I'll be going over the Day of Atonement scripture and bringing out those. So it'll be two-part. It'll be Sunday morning and Sunday night. I'll take care of that. And then we'll go right into our fast time, which would be that evening. So you can fast. Yeah, I know you've been doing it. Some of you have called and said you've been fasting, and I appreciate that. You're right on time with all of that. It's very important. But this is a special time that you see in the scripture that he's calling us to, okay? Nope, because I sent the text out and I changed. This is the dates. Yep. So this is the dates right here. Now, anybody that wants to come for the, here you go. Yep. If you want to come right here, everything will be here. You're welcome. Everybody's welcome to come and spend some time. Church will be open. It's just some time to spend in between because you have already started. You'll be here to do that. Now, I was going to schedule to do some teaching during then, but I'm not. Okay? So if you think you're coming, I'm going to do teaching, and I'm not going to be doing that for that particular time. I can take care of what I need to do on Sunday, but that's what will be taking place. Okay? You can have water. Yep. But if you drink coffee, I mean, that's part of the fast. You shouldn't have coffee. You shouldn't have, you know, your juice or whatever. And I know, I mean, that's part of the humbling of the soul, you know. So anything that is besides you drinking water, I think that's something that, again, now, I wouldn't say this on normal fast because I believe fasting should be common sense and it should be something that you and God, and you should never, nobody should know it. You shouldn't be going around saying I'm fasting. Or you shouldn't make comments like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do without my coffee. Yeah, I'm telling you, that's stuff that God don't tolerate. Amen. This is not a time for you to talk about how you think you're going to react. Listen, you might react, mm-hmm. but we don't care and God don't care.
That's it.
You understand?
So
that's about as simple as I can put it because it's serious. Once you do it, the fast, you might as well go and get your hamburger because God's like, okay. It's about reflecting. It's about you saying to God and not showing anybody else. He said nobody should be, you shouldn't be looking a certain way like somebody should be feeling sorry for you. And that never should happen during that type of fast. Any fast for that matter. But that this one in particular, it's very significant. That shouldn't be shown on you that you're doing it. I mean, if you was upbeat, if you ate a hamburger, you ought to be upbeat because you're eating God's burger.
That's right.
You see, you're eating the Word of God. You got to be just as energized. You got to be ready to, you know, you got to show the same thing.
Right.
And it's difficult the first day. I can tell you that. I've experienced it many times. But after that, it's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. I mean, when we go somewhere, I tell y'all, we going somewhere, I fast before I go and pray because I'm going into territory that I'm just, the Lord told me to go, I'm going. I don't know what's going on. I might think I know, but I don't really know. And just because I think I know don't make it right, so I fast. When we go, we fast. When we go to Nepal, right before we go, I'm going to be fasting going into that because that's important. And I don't want to go into that type of territory and not be ready. Okay? If anything, if I'm going to start something here, I'll get ready. I'll fast. It may be a day. Most of the time, if I travel, I fast 3 days. Sometimes I fast more than that. But these important times, because I don't know, I got a word from the Lord to go, but I'm not. I need to know. I need to be prepared, especially if I'm going to go pray for somebody, lay hands on somebody that I don't know. I mean, that's you never know. You have to understand things transfer. Do you understand that? Spirits can transfer, and you want to be protected. And so I pray, and when I'm fasting, I pray, say, God, I want to be protected by you. What am I doing? I don't need it. What food? You know what? I can eat on the Word of God.
Yes.
Are you going to feel hungry? You should.
Yes.
You're probably going to. But then after the first day, you're going, okay, thank you, Lord. And you start feeding on the Word of God. You're feeding on, you're praying, you're seeking God. Now, most of the time when I do fast like that, I'm still working. I'm still doing my daily activities. Then there are some times that I won't. I won't do anything. If I come here and I get in that office for 3 days, I can tell you that's serious time. And I don't do anything. I don't take phone calls. I don't do anything. But I get on my face before God, and I've got to get an answer from the Lord. And I have to, when that's serious, when I need an answer, it's just the way it is. And I can't talk to anybody. I can't be communicating with my wife and doing those things. And she knows that, and she takes care of that. It's perfect. It works out perfect. And so there's times that you may do that in your own private time. Whatever the Lord leads you to do, you do. But this particular one, I believe if everybody would do this at the same time, the same way, and just for 24 hours, I mean, I believe it'll be something. Really going to make a difference. Okay? Well, God bless you. I love you. Last time to do anything, we had people call today. They're going to be getting their stuff in for Nepal. Anybody that wants to make any type of donation to Nepal, we're going to do this Sunday and next Sunday. That would be the last two Sundays that will be, because it goes through the offering system, and once it gets in the office, then we know. So that then is taken out, and then we can make the check payable, proper check, so we can get the money to Pastor KB and them for what's going on. So we definitely want to be able to bring a camera for the earthquake area. Pastor Bim needs a camera. I told him it's important to document and take pictures of some of the stuff that's going on, and he has no means to do that. So we're going to bring a camera for him. So that's something that needs to be bought. The second thing needs to be bought is a keyboard. The keyboard that they have there for the worship is might not even work when we get there. It was pretty. So we're going to get a keyboard. Now that's going to be quite something just for me to travel with that. We're going to pray over it and believe God's going to give a safe trip. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that they just take from you when you get there. But we'll pray over it and believe God for protection. But we need a keyboard. So I'm going to travel with that as one of my luggage pieces. So that'll be less stuff I can bring, but it'll be worth it to get the right tool in their hand. Now, for them to buy something there equal to what we could get here would be 3 to 4 times the amount of money. Same thing. And it would be shipped in from India.
So you do the same thing with the torches?
Yep, I got the torches donated today. Yep. AJ donated them. I called him about it because I guess where I got mine and Dad's from. And those things are really good. I think that's going to give them what they need to shine. I've been on the wall. I prayed around that wall many times when I was there, and it's a lot of area that's dark, and I don't know how those guys keep up to try to keep that compound safe. But they're going to beef up the security because of the stuff that's happening. I mean, obviously they know that area is a dominant Christian area. From the standpoint of Pastor KB and them's presence there, it's a strong presence of God, and that could be something that comes under some type of scrutiny and attack. But we're praying. We're going to trust the Lord and do everything we can to make sure that we're helping them protect. So that was one of the requests that he made, because that's stuff that they can't get there. They can get it, but it's cheap stuff. So anybody that wants to donate batteries, I'll try to travel with some batteries. I know I could take some. I can't take a bunch, but maybe one or two packs of the AA. The AA is what's going to work these donated lamps that are coming. If you want to do that, don't go get a bunch. So talk around amongst each other. I remember I asked for socks, and I had a truckload of socks. I mean, I had more. I don't want to. I know they're going to give me a tough time traveling with it. batteries. I probably can get by with that. You understand? But if I go with a bunch, they're going to take them. So I will try it. Four. They take four double A's for each light. They can get some that's not like us. Yeah. I probably can take six packs of the packs. Yeah, because that, other than that, I don't want to chance it. Yeah, not a mixed pack. Not a mix. Yeah. So they, remember, there we use our lights occasionally. They'll use them every night. Every single night they have to run that perimeter for security. Every single night, not just church time. Every night they run that security. And it's a big compound. So it takes several guys to do it, and they're doing it right now with no light. They run it, and, I mean, those guys, they're real good. A lot of them are younger guys, and they just love the Lord, and I'm telling you, I can't even explain to you how much they would appreciate if they had a lamp on their head to go do it. I mean, it's hard to explain it. I mean, they would just couldn't get over it. And once I could show them the beam that it makes, and that it'd be something to help them out. Right now, they got these little lights that, I mean, you can't see past the back door with them. So we want to, that'll be coming in the mail. That was probably sent out today. So I'm not sure how many's going to be coming. I just. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't know how many is going to be coming. I just mentioned it to AJ, and he's putting them in the mail. So I know he counts way over too a lot of times. Yes. It's different. There's. I got one in my office. It's just two prongs. It's two prongs that are wider apart than a regular. Yeah, they could get an adapter. You'd have to get the charger and the rechargeable batteries. Yeah.